Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Washoe County Commissioner Bob Lucey will join us. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Mary Lau, Ernie Adler, and Don Tatro. It's all coming up next on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
40 years ago, Hotel California and the theme from Rocky were number one on the pop charts, and D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal started on the road to becoming Nevada's leading roofing company.
I couldn't be more proud of what we've achieved.
And over these 40 years, we've become an employee-owned company. So when you're talking to any employee, you're talking to an owner.
And here's to the next 40 years.
Happy 40th birthday, D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program the Washoe County Commissioner, Bob Lucey. Pleasure to have you here, sir.
Hey, thanks, Sam. Really a pleasure.
Let's start out with a fire situation that occurred over the weekend.
Sure.
The Evans Fire. What can you tell us about this at this point in time?
So, you know, Evans Fire started early, probably around 8, 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, or Sunday, yesterday morning. And actually, it was a joint effort by Truckee Meadows. We don't know much about it. It did happen up in U.S. Forest Service property. But Truckee Meadows Fire Protection District responded in joint with the U.S. Forest Service. We were the initial responders up there. It started out about an acre up in the timber, but we were happy to kind of get it under control. And then about 3:30 yesterday afternoon, the Forest Service took over command of that. So, but we helped out in the morning. We tried to get that conveyed, but it was in a tough area yesterday. So,
yeah, and it's was 5% contained, my understanding is.
Correct, as of last night, yeah. But we had a lot of assets on it last night.
Indeed. And, you know, for those in Southern Nevada wondering why we're talking about a fire, it's not too many years ago that we had the Collin Fire that devastated the Reno area. And so we're always mindful of fires.
Yeah, wildfire season is not a laughing matter up here in the north. It's something that we deal with on a daily basis. And I mean, we talk about from fuels reduction in the county to how we fund the fire service to make sure that we're amply covered, because we're in an area that a majority of our neighborhoods are right in that buffer zone, especially some of the homes in my district, the Galena area, Washoe Valley last year, where we lost 27 homes last year.
Let's change topics here to something that folks in Southern Nevada are very well aware of, the Southern Nevada Lands Act and the benefits that has brought not just to Southern Nevada but to the entire state. Now there's a Washoe County lands bill that is going through.
Correct.
There are some objections to this. What are your thoughts on this, and what are the benefits and the potential negatives that could come from this?
Well, you know, this is something that we, you know, I kind of spearheaded 2.5 years ago. Feeling that, you know, obviously Reno's growing. We're seeing such a massive influx to our area that we are landlocked by a lot of federal land. You know, actually, only about 10% of the county is owned privately. Almost 90% of our county is owned by the federal government here in Washoe County. And so what we address is that we started looking at how can we go and make sure that we have enough room to grow within Washoe County to accommodate all these new individuals, all these new jobs that are coming into the region. And so what we sat down is we started down and looked at and took the Southern Nevada Public Lands Management, otherwise known as SNPLMA, as a great example to start from, kind of a basis. But we really created it and made it curtailed it so that it was more conducive for Washoe County and Northern Nevada. So what we created is the Washoe County Conservation and Economic Development and Conservation Lands Act. And so we've been working on this, and it's really going to be something beneficial in the sense that we've created an economic boundary around the Truckee Meadows to identify lands, federally held lands, that could be utilized for a number of entities within the area, whether that's the University of Nevada, Truckee Meadows Water Authority, the school district, both City of Reno and City of Sparks. We've identified different parcels that could be utilized for public purposes that are going to be beneficial. Regional Transportation Commission, which I sit on, you know, we talk about frequently building roads out through the East Truckee River Canyon or connecting roads between Spanish Springs and the North Valleys, and what we're going to need for the next 20, 30 years for transportation, schooling, water within our region, and how we're going to be able to facilitate that. And the challenges have really lied that some of these federal lands would prohibit that. And so we started identifying certain parcels, and hence the economic boundary we drew around the outside of the community, and found these lands. And what we're going to do is work through that to obviously try to acquire those for those entities. But also there are some lands in there that we could utilize for sale for development and continued growth within our community.
So commercial, residential, potentially industrial?
Absolutely. All everything. And it's all going to go through a process of being identified, you know, what's going to be, where is it going to be beneficial. We'll include the Truckee Meadows Regional Planning Agency from a larger standpoint. We're going to identify, obviously work with the cities, both City of Sparks and City of Reno, to identify the best parcels and how we should continue to curtail that. And with the master plans coming out from the Truckee Meadows Regional Planning Agency and also the City of Reno, we're going to see some different identified areas as we continue to grow how we need to better manage and balance that commercial, industrial, residential growth.
And there are some areas, I understand, that are within the areas of the county that are now already occupied by residences and commercial entities that are also federally owned, correct?
That's correct.
And so would those come under the same jurisdiction?
Certain ones would be, yeah, would come under the same jurisdiction and fall within that plan. And so, you know, we really are trying to balance this to make sure that we have that sustainability as we continue to grow, because we've seen growth in our community about into the tune of 6 to 7%. You know, EDON,
which is an insane amount.
Which is well above a national average. When 2 to 3 is where you see a high end, when you start seeing 6 to 7%, and we see housing going through the roof because of availability and our low inventory within the real estate market, it makes it very challenging to continue to satisfy the needs for these workers that are going to come in and fill these jobs.
A quick question and a quick answer here. What we've seen with the Southern Nevada Lands Act is that there have been money for other things that have come out of this with land sold, for example, beneficial to Lake Tahoe, for example. Sure. Is there monies that we would see from this Washoe County bill that would benefit as well?
Absolutely, and that's the most critical piece about this, is that and that's where the conservation piece comes into it. But I'm going to address the money part of it first. So
we've got about a minute.
Okay, so I'll do it really quick. So with for any sales into the future, which would transpire, for every dollar that's sold, 85 cents of every dollar will go into a trust fund held by the federal government to obtain for conservation projects, whether that's fuels management, that's land purchases for open space, that's continued projects that are going to benefit conservation within Washoe County. And then 5 cents of that dollar will go to the state for into an education fund, and then 10 cents of that dollar will go right back to the county for infrastructure projects such as sewer plants, water facilities, roads, you name it. That's where that funding will come from. So realistically, that 85 cents will help us buy different things. We looked at parcels potentially on Peavine to continue to buy parcels to make sure that continued open space will always be open for our residents. You know, different parks programs. So it's going to be very similar in the same same way that Snipple Meyer did for the state.
Okay, and last quick question about this. You know, the commissioners were very foresighted many, many years ago when they not only came up with the concept of the McCarran Ring Road, but actually built it and forced it all the way through, because there was a lot of objections in Southwest Reno to the final portion of that, the western portion, actually going through.
Correct.
And Lord knows where we would be if that road was not done. Is there any idea, planned, thought, or room for an additional ring road that would be beyond that McCarran Ring Road with the growth that we're experiencing?
You know, we haven't really discussed it to any kind of any nature, but we really have tried to add. Right now, obviously, with the opening of Southwest Connector at the end of the week, we'll see that.
It only took 40 years.
It only took 40 years, but we got there, Sam. But, you know, we'll do it, and we're going to talk about more connectors, I think, throughout the valley. Maybe not a continuous ring road, but we will start looking at different avenues to continue to start making sure we get other arterials versus continue to do the standard, what we've always done, what I consider our congested heart of Reno, which is our spaghetti bowl.
All right, let's take a break. More with Bob Lucy when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Bob Lucy. He's the Washoe County Commissioner. You wanted to talk a little bit more about the lands bill that's going through for Washoe County in terms of conservation.
Right. So the really quickly on the second part of that is the conservation piece. And I think it's a very important piece. Since 1971, we've had wilderness study areas that have been up in the northern part of our county that represent about 10% of our county. And they've been held in a way for quite some time that they haven't been able to be utilized for a number of different people. What we're trying to do with our bill is do a fair balance of really converting some of those wilderness study areas into true wilderness so that we can make sure that there's continued efforts for our ranchers and different things up north. But the areas that were identified in a 91 record of decision to be released and actually turned back to allow for future businesses and different things like ranching and grazing and different things of that nature, truly taking those wilderness studies and making them true open space, we're going to do that as well. We're releasing a lot of those WSAs and turning about 300,000 acres back into just general open space so everybody can truly enjoy them.
So they will be converted from wilderness?
Wilderness study areas.
Right, oh, study areas. Okay.
Study areas to open space, but then some of those wilderness study areas will actually be identified as true wilderness and made sure that so it takes an act of Congress to convert the two. So we're going to get out of wilderness study areas some wilderness, and some true open space.
Let me ask you this. Is Congressman Amadei, who I presume is spearheading this,
correct?
Is he optimistic?
He's very optimistic. He's been working with us diligently and all of his staff for quite some time, and they've been helping quite helpful with this. And I think he is very optimistic. You know, he had the Pershing County land bill on the floor, and it passed out of the floor just recently within the last few months. And so we're really optimistic that we can get this done, and he keeps assuring us that it's not a big deal.
Has Rob Bishop thrown his support behind it as well?
We haven't had a chance to talk with Chairman Bishop yet about it, but we're hoping that he will get behind it. And I think Mark has done quite a good job, and Congressman Amade, about making sure that that's a reality for us. And then we've also, you know, this is a bipartisan thing. Senator Cortez Masto is helping us carry it on the Senate side. So she's been working with her staff. So we get that good, fair balance from not only conservation piece, but for our ranchers and sportsmen and different OHV people.
One of the areas that you work in is the Reno-Sparks Convention and Visitors Authority.
I am. I do.
And we had the head of the executive director of that organization on the program, and he was talking about the expansion that they're looking at,
yeah.
Which is, what, 300,000 square feet?
That's correct.
Are you optimistic that you're going to be able to get this through?
You know, I'm hoping that we do a good job with what we're going to carry forward. You know, this is something that we need to continue to look at as we grow. As the chairman, it's my responsibility to make sure that tourism and convention and our convention business within the Reno-Sparks area continues to grow. Our economic landscaping, as you report many times on this show, is growing and it is changing. And we're not just a tourist base, but we have now advanced manufacturing. We have capital financing here. We have all these different technologies moving into the area. And it allows us to continue to grow and continue to invite some of these convention space, which is really what I consider our bread and butter. But it's going to be a heavy lift. You know, we're going to have to continue to work with the Nevada Resort Association. We're going to have to work with the constituents and all the legislators, both north and south, to see if we can find a pathway forward to expand the convention center. Because right now, where we are with our convention center, we are missing about 80% of the business based upon we've got the marketing in place, we've got the hotel rooms in place. What we're lacking and where we're missing shows and where shows are saying they're not going to be able to come is because they just can't fit in our center.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So why the legislature and the Resort Association? Is this to get the support of the Resort Association and the permission from the legislature to expand?
Yes. You know, we want to make sure that there's full transparency and that we're working with all the stakeholders involved, because realistically, we haven't identified one specific way forward, but, you know, a facilities fee would be realistic to do something like that.
So, but it's the funding.
It's really the funding portion of it, because if we can add that 300,000 square feet to the facility, we can start attracting probably, you know, 15 to 20 new shows a year to our community, and most of those being larger citywides that add so much economic development or economic impact to our region.
We've got less than 30 seconds. It seems to me that if you get that expansion, that opens the door for properties to build additional rooms to be able to support that. Is that your understanding from casino operators?
Absolutely, and I think there's going to be a need or some desire to continue to do that. So we'll see what happens.
How many thousand rooms do you think you would need additionally?
I don't know if we need more rooms specifically, but I think you'd probably see anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 extra rooms be built within our area.
And that's where we got to leave it for now. Come back soon, will you?
I will, absolutely.
And we'll be right back.
Thanks.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't going to let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Ernie Adler is here, the former state senator. Mary Lau is president and CEO of the Retail Association of Nevada. And Don Tatro is executive director of the Builders Association of Northern Nevada. Pleasure to have you all here. And let's start out, Mary, with you and the Supreme Court nominee to come and the concern over Roe versus Wade. You know, at this point, the common theme seems to be stare decisis, which is that this is already settled law. Do you agree with that?
Are you talking on the Roe v. Wade? Mm-hmm. Well, the big thing that's going on, Susan Collins is running around saying, I'm not going to vote for anybody who will rule on that, but it's against the rules for a judge to declare how he or she would rule on a case. They have to be open-minded and everything else. And yes, every single 50 states has their own law too. And in order for any judge to even rule on that, it has to make its way back up through the courts. So you're talking years long. I think the recent decision on upsetting Quill and doing the mainstream fairness has been over 20 years in the process. So it's more drama and less substance.
Do you agree, Ernie?
No, I think that Roe versus Wade is in danger, but I think probably the question you need to ask the prospective Supreme Court justices is whether they strongly support stare decisis or whether they're going to go in and be right-wing activist judges overturning everything.
And do you think that question is likely to be asked?
Well, I'm sure it will be asked.
Yeah, it's a standard question.
Because it's not really specifically going to any individual case. It's just, it just has to do with judicial philosophy.
Does this put John Roberts in the position of Anthony Kennedy now, perhaps a little bit more to the right, but being the swing vote?
Possibly could. I think that we dance around this with every Supreme Court nominee, and it doesn't matter the president or the party. We have each side claiming judicial activism. And then when you get down into the details of it, they can't answer anything. So it's always a large buildup when we start looking at these different judicial philosophies. But I think, by and large, the case history and what they've already ruled on is going to determine who's going to make it in that seat. And I don't see any of the candidates right now being run out by either party.
One of the things that I think has been interesting, because over this last weekend, when all the news programs have been talking about this, they've all been saying, well, the Democrats have no levers, they have no power. But John McCain is obviously very ill, and the ability for him to vote at this point brings down the majority for the Republicans in the Senate even lower. And, you know, we saw with Cory Gardner regarding marijuana in Colorado that a senator had a lot of ability to make changes by just holding up lots of other things, in terms of the Senate. Do you think that there are levers that the senators can pull on the Democratic side to slow this down to what they hope will be after the election?
Well, I think they can attempt to do that, of course, because Chuck Schumer is a parliamentarian. He's amazing at parliamentary procedure, but then he's pitted against Mitch McConnell, who is also a parliamentarian, so they know what they're doing. There'll be a lot of games played and stuff, but sort of the dynamics have changed as far as the Democrats that are running in states that Trump won, and they voted for Neil Gorsuch. So now to try to move to a different direction, just coming into the parking lot, I heard that the very liberal side is putting in millions of dollars to threaten the Democrats themselves. You know, a liberal group is threatening a Democrat, saying if you vote for this person, we'll take you out in the election. So it's going to be nasty, it's going to be dirty, but it's a majority vote. I mean, that's the irony of the Supreme Court is just a majority. You've got Mike Pence in there to swing vote.
And this is all to be laid at the feet of Harry Reid, who blew up the filibuster.
Well, I think that Mitch McConnell would have gone to the 51% rule anyway, even if Harry Reid hadn't blown it up. So I think Mitch McConnell was going to make sure that he got his federal judges in place once Trump was elected.
Well, and that was what Harry Reid was doing in terms of appointments,
right.
You know, going with the majority rule anyway. But Mary brings up a good point, which is that even when Harry Reid was trying to get Obamacare passed, he had three Democratic senators who were holding him for ransom. Just because you have a certain amount of people elected to your caucus doesn't mean to say they're all going to vote the way you want them to vote.
I think that's the biggest struggle in the Senate is that I worked there, and it was that's what I love is the beauty of it, the parliamentary procedure, and that one senator does have a lot of power and a lot of sway for its constituents back home. But, you know, as we look into the gamemanship and how that's going to go in an election year, obstructionism usually doesn't sell well. For a very long period of time. And so if you're not going to move judges, which people, I think, believe should move fairly freely, and those very entrenched in it aren't going to be happy either way, you'll see it go back and forth. But the Senate is a great body in that it's so deliberative in that each individual can move things to their direction. But you get back to the Affordable Care Act, is Cornhusker kickback. That's when all those things came up, and you might see some of that again.
All right. You guys are great. We're going to hold you over for the next show, and we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada is a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
My name is Reed. NV Energy and the PUC sabotaged rooftop solar. They put me out of business. I had to cancel 250 projects and lay off 40 employees. And now, NV Energy wants to kill energy choice. They want to put profits above clean energy in the 34,000 jobs it will bring.
After the way NV Energy treated us, sorry, you left us no choice.
Competition means more clean energy jobs. Break up with NV Energy's monopoly by voting yes on question 3.
Sorry, NV Energy, it's over.
On the next broadcast, the former head of the AFL-CIO in Nevada, Danny Thompson, will see you then.